Welcome to another episode of the MDS podcast, the official podcast of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society. Today, we're diving into the effects of acute levodopa replacement on cognition in Parkinson's disease. It is known that levodopa is the gold standard treatment for motor symptoms in Parkinson's. But have you ever wondered how it may modulate cognitive performance? While you would think cognition will be worse only in the off state, there's some evidence suggesting that dopaminergic replacement might reduce some aspects of cognitive function. Joining us today are Dr. Joseph Sibler and Dr. Kayla Mills from the Department of Neurology, Johns Hopkins. They are co-authors of the paper, Impact of Acute Dopamine Replacement on Cognitive Function in Parkinson's Disease, published in May issue of Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Welcome, Dr. Sibler and Dr. Mills.
Thanks for having us.
A pleasure. Now, to kick things off, could any of you share some background on previous research into the links between acute dopaminergic replacement and cognitive function? For instance, what were the gaps in knowledge that prompted you to study this association?
So there's a variety of tests that can be used, and they can be administered in different fashions. So there is variable literature, some with acute dopaminergic replacement, even involving, for example, the test that we did in this study, the Stroop and the Symbol Digit Modalities test, which are the two cognitive tests we used in the study. Variably, they might use a written variation, or they might look at different subscores, for example, of the Stroop. So that can change from process to process. I think overall, these studies tend to have a low sample size, and our ability to comment robustly on these changes might be a little limited.
I understand. Now, using these two different tests, I wonder if you can specify for the audience, what are the differences between the symbol digit modality test and the Stroop test?
So in short, the Stroop test involves three different components that are measured in clinic. Both of these tests were done verbally. So the Stroop test, one, they name as many colors as they can in 45 seconds. Then they name as many words as they can in 45 seconds. Then they name as many mismatched color words in 45 seconds. There is the added effect, the added difficulty of the mismatched color words is what's known as interference. So there are really kind of four ways we can look at the Stroop test in that way. The symbol digit modality test, they have 90 seconds to pair specific numbers with geometric figures. So quite different in that way.
Now let's move into the details of your study and specifically the characteristics of the cohort in your population. And sort of what was the experimental design in terms of how the patients were evaluated in two different states, in the off and on state?
Yeah. In this study, 200 people with idiopathic Parkinson's disease were recruited. They came in for the morning for the study off of medication. So they had to withdraw overnight for 12 hours plus. Not so dissimilar to what we do for DBS testing, right? Then they had a battery of psychiatric and cognitive tests. Then they took their regular symptomatic medication dosing for the morning. And when reporting a medication on state, then they repeated the battery tests. So the two tests that are relevant to this study would be the Stroop and the Symbol Digit Modalities test, both done off and then when they had the kick in of their regular morning medication.
And roughly how long did it take for patients to complete both tests in an on and off state?
Yeah, so this battery was part of a larger battery actually designed by our colleague, Greg Pontone, who was with us at Johns Hopkins at the time and now is at the University of Florida. But he was very interested in looking at non-motor symptoms and their association with dopamine replacement in Parkinson's disease. So these two cognitive tests were given in addition to numerous other non-motor assessments, both subjective and objective, assessing anxiety, depression, and other non-motor symptoms that can occur in Parkinson's disease, and these are reported elsewhere. So the battery was a little over an hour for each, but the cognitive evaluations were sure to be done when there was a patient-reported best on time.
Thank you. And so what are the key findings of this study? And I wonder how these results change the way we see acute dopaminergic treatment in Parkinson's.
To go back to briefly how the subcomponents of these things and look at how each of them improved or worsened, the Stroop's components, so the color and the word naming, how many they can name in 45 seconds, right? Not mismatched, just straight naming. Those got better with levodopa. They're thought to relate more to processing speed and working memory. And that was a consistent finding with other literature, that often processing speed and working memory improve with levodopa. The other part of this group is a little bit more confusing, right? It's harder to name the mismatched color words, right? And the added difficulty there is the interference. And that's thought to represent a more executive function. It involves some level of decision-making and maybe suppressing your tendency to just say the word or the color, right? And this we found did not change with levodopa. And I found mixed literature on this. It wasn't clear which way that would go, but there's also a lot of different ways you can calculate this. So it's a little bit murky to comment on how interference in the group changes or is in other literature. The symbol digit modality test, which they're matching numbers with geometric figures, is thought to represent traditionally a lot of processing speed. There's some recent literature, especially in the multiple sclerosis literature, suggesting that there's other executive aspects or paired associate learning or lexical access that's involved in this test. So it's maybe more complicated than thought. We found that this got worse with levodopa, which we thought suggests maybe some other of these higher order functions might deteriorate on levodopa. This was maybe in opposition to some other studies, but they might have used, for example, a written or a different way of assessing it. Some people use computerized assessments, which involves more of a motor component, right, where we used an oral, which kind of negates as much of that as possible.
So I find these results fascinating, but at the same time, puzzling. And I wonder, is there any theoretical explanation behind the reduced performance in the symbol digit modality test in the one hand? And the other hand, the Stroop test improvement on the on stage. I ask myself, is there any biological plausibility? Is there any pathways that may differ between these two tests?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's important to bring up the dopamine overdose hypothesis as it regards executive function, especially, right? So we would think that, first off, these tests are a little bit messy, right? And they might involve multiple different cognitive facilities. And insofar as maybe executive function measures contribute to the symbol digit modality test, maybe this would explain why it got worse. The dopamine overdose hypothesis would be, in Parkinson's disease, there's a degeneration of dopaminergic neurons, but it's done in a gradient. So the dorsal striatum might be affected most initially, which might innervate motor circuitry. And that would cause the tremor, rigidity, slowness. And then eventually it'll affect more ventral striatum. This would be in the loop that innervates the prefrontal cortex, which is important for executive function. And then when we take oral dopamine, it might help more the dorsal striatal loop and suppress the motor symptoms, but it will also perhaps overload that ventral loop, which doesn't need as much, and then might cause some level of overdosing of this striatal frontal circuit and the prefrontal cortex circuitry and worsen the executive measures.
Interesting. Now you mentioned about the patterns of neurodegeneration, but we know that as time goes by, there's a progressive process. And in that regard, I don't know if you find any correlation between that decrement or abnormalities in the symbol digit modalities test and the duration of the disease in your patients or even other variables.
So we found that a lot of these measures in general worsen with progressive years of disease. So as the disease becomes more advanced in terms of years of disease, the performance on these measures gets lower. We also looked at the levodopa equivalent daily dose that these people receive. And we found that the tests decline with more duration of disease and with higher levodopa equivalent dosing. And when we put both of those into a regression model, it's more driven by the years of disease. So this matches our expectations of slower processing speed and more executive problems with more advanced disease in general.
Now, that wraps up today's episode of the MDF podcast. A big thank you to Dr. Joseph Simler and Dr. Kayla Mills for sharing their valuable insights. Stay tuned for our next episode where we'll continue exploring the latest advancement in movement disorders. Until then, stay curious and keep learning. Thanks again.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders, and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.